If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Patriot Studios, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bing and Michael B.
To you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. Today is February 24th, 1836. Nope, it's not 1836. You're probably thinking to yourself, what the heck are you talking about, Michael? Today's February 24th, 2013, but it is a very important anniversary date if you're a Texan. And I'll talk about that in just a second. First, this is Soldiers of Patriotism. I am your host, Michael B. from Texas Patriot Studios Command Center here in Hazlitt, Texas, along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing Fisher from Patriot Studios Command. Whoops, I'm sorry, Bing. I put you. Let me put you back in there in the screening room. Sorry, I was about to open you up there. From Patriot Studios Command Center, Midville, Tennessee, and the time is 3 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number 718-305-7176. Got just a little bit to talk about before we bring on our first guest and start getting into today's show. The first thing I would like to say is my boy has been in the hospital this week, and I'm not going to go into details why, but it's been a busy week. I've been falling behind. I've let my team down a little bit, to all of them, to my general manager, Teresa Bruski, to my partner, Bing Fisher, to our promotions manager and co-host of Women Patriots, Barbara Mulligan Buffing, to all of my hosts, Brenda Ward, Carl Higby, Guy Reschenthaler, Chris Mantee, and Chris Ricketts. I just want to say thank you for holding down the fort, and excuse me for having been absent this week. Sometimes things do come up. All I'm going to say about my boy is screw being PC and buying into this horse crap about walking away and telling a teacher when you're being picked on. I know a young man that when he gets home, he'll be made to understand that if someone bullies him, he has his dad's permission to turn around and without notice pop the prick in the face as hard as he can. And we'll deal with suspension after the fact, but I'll guarantee Mr. Principal, there'll be no more further problems. Now, why am I talking about February 24th, 1836? You're probably asking yourself, folks, 1836 on today. William Travis sent a letter out. Commander of the Alamo, Behar, February 24th, 1836, to the people of Texas and all Americans in the world, fellow citizens and compatriots, I am besieged by thousands or more of the Mexicans under Santa Ana. I have sustained a continual bombardment and cannonade for 24 hours. I've not lost a man. The enemy has demanded a surrender at discretion. Otherwise, the garrisons are to be put to the sword. If the fort is taken, I have answered the demand with a cannon shot, and our flag still waves proudly from the walls. I shall never surrender or retreat. I shall never surrender or retreat. Then I call on you in the name of liberty, of patriotism and everything dear to the American character to come to our aid with all dispatch. The enemy is receiving reinforcements daily and will no doubt increase to 3,000 or 4,000 in 4 or 5 days. If this call is neglected, I'm determined to sustain myself as long as possible and die like a soldier who never forgets what is due to his honor and that of his country. Victory or death. I call on you in the name of liberty, of patriotism, and everything dear to the American character. Patriots, today is the anniversary of that letter. Yesterday was the anniversary of the siege at the Alamo, 13 days to glory. You all know the story. And you all know that I'm a proud sixth-generation son of the Republic of Texas. Going into the next couple of weeks, I thought I would take a moment to share this with all of y'all. What we here in Texas hold close to our hearts, an event that, starting yesterday and ending on the 6th of March, was an event that was known worldwide, and that is the siege at the Alamo. And what I thought was important and that I wanted to impart upon y'all and share with you and encourage you all to take away and take ownership of is that one sentence in the Travis letter. I call on you in the name of liberty, of patriotism, and everything dear to the American character. Just as Bowie, Travis, and Crockett, and Bonham did, and many other noble hearts who yielded their lives a willing sacrifice in the cause of human liberty, together, we fight in that same vein, in that same spirit. The Alamo to we Texans is a sacred place of patriotism, to one's beliefs, values, and the willingness to fight for that freedom. To all of you all who are not from Texas, embrace this cry. Remember the Alamo. Remember Goliad. As a state of mind for that which we fight today. God bless you, my friends. Your friend, Michael. Let's get Brother Bing on in here. My brother Bing, brother from another mother in Tennessee. How are you doing today, my brother?
I'm fired up, dude. And I'm telling you what, like you said, just with your introduction there on the Alamo, there was some proud Tennesseans sitting there serving too that lost their lives.
Absolutely. Tennessee volunteers and volunteers that came in January of 1836. People, Google the Troutman flag, liberty or death.
Yep.
That flag made its way to Texas in January 1836. Flags from Tennessee, flags from all over the place came to our aid by patriots from a lot of great states throughout the country.
Oh, yeah, and I just want to say, you know, I'm not a native of Tennessee. My wife is, but I got to say from Florida anyways up to Tennessee, I'm willing to do it again. You know, I mean, it's about time, I think. That's the way I look at it. Because I'm sitting there, you know, Michael, I'm sitting there in this last week. Okay, we got the sequester coming up, you know. All hell is going to rain down on us, you know, if we don't pass a budget. We got the Republicans out there sitting there. They're going back and forth, swaying like a tree in the wind, you know, instead of being a rock, instead of being a building that's got a foundation. They're just swaying around, and they want to go back and forth. They want to capitulate on this. We got I don't know, man. Everything is going all. It's like all hell is breaking loose this week. But I don't know. We've got to sit there and we've got to make a stand. We got to make a stand, and the stand is here. We got to draw a line in the sand, and we got to draw it, and we got to say you don't cross that line. Like you were talking about with your boy at school there. You know, the thing is, you got a bully. You got to sit there and you got to protect yourself. You can't sit there and be sissified, and we got an author coming up on a book in a couple of weeks here and that we're going to interview, and we can't sit there and let these people rule us. We will not be ruled. We will not be ruled. And when you get that, and when that message gets out there, and when you got that attitude, okay, like I do right now, I'm about ready to go just jump through the screen at somebody, you know. because and it's mainly the talking heads on TV.
Yeah, it is, Bing. And you know, I mean, you know how much I loathe President Obama and the Democrats. But at least they're quite honest about it. It's my party, our party, that I'm quite put out with. You know, this whole sequester idea was President Obama's idea to begin with. The Republicans agreed to it. You see, here's the problem. The problem is it's so dysfunctional on both sides of the aisle in D.C. now that we can't come to any negotiations. We can't take care of the business, the people's business in our nation's capital anymore. So what we have is we say, okay, well, we're going to have a failsafe. This time we call it sequester. And then when we can't negotiate, like we already knew wouldn't happen, well, then the person, the party that suggested it wants to turn it around and blame it on us, and then or our side, and then our side wants to meander, and they want to backpedal, and you know, they're so afraid of what people are going to think. Screw being afraid of what people think. I'm tired and sick of all of this PC bullcrap. You know what? Take a stand. It's $44 billion frickin' dollars. Ain't no, you know what? It ain't.
Much,
it's really
Michael,
not going to be a drop in the bucket, quite honestly. It's not even enough of a sequester. We're being spent to oblivion. We're well on our way to where Greece is at in Western Europe. We got us a problem, folks. Hello, Earth. You know, Major Tom to Earth.
Hey, Michael, it amounts to approximately 2% of the budget. So let me put it this way. Can you live on 98% of what you make a year? I can.
Well, yeah.
If I can't, I'll make it up.
I'll just cut out.
Ain't
you know,
a damn deal to me.
I'll
you know,
cut out 2% worth of scotch and beer.
Yeah, or whatever. But the government can't sit there and live on 2% less of what they make a year, and they expect us to pay more for what they want to spend on. Our dollar is worth crap, okay, because we got Ben Bernanke and all these little cronies out there that want to, you know, think that the economy is dependent on tax money when it's not. It's dependent on individuals that produce, that make things.
Well, you know, just as we knew last year,
the movies, I mean,
last year they raised taxes, look, right around the election time. You know, our side caved. Once again, taxes were raised from on people making more than $450,000 from 35% to 39.5%. Here we are once again hearing the same old song and dance that we need to tax the rich more. When are people going to understand it's not about taxing more? Do loopholes need to be closed and make the playing field more level across the board for everybody? Sure, I'm all for that. That's why we need to simplify the tax code. But the left keeps selling this horse hockey that we need to tax a certain group of people more in order to get things balanced. Well, we don't need to tax people more to balance things. We need to spend less. Yet we've got a president that sits up there and says, we don't have a spending problem. Now, look, I wasn't born in the damn tax act yesterday.
You there?
Yeah,
we do have a spending problem. This guy is the spending problem.
Yeah.
How many trillions are we going to spend?
Yeah. Well, you know, we got a show lined up today, and part of that is going to – first, we've got Alex Resig on, who's going to talk to us a little bit about his next book in the Freedom Redo series. But then at 4, we've got Tom Hoefling on. You know, we're all put out with the Republican Party. They dissed the Tea Party and grassroots conservatives. And you know, this Karl Rove, I've just about had it with this neocon. And, you know, we're going to have Tom Hoefling on, president of America's party. Maybe this is where we need to start looking. I don't know. I mean, I know in the long run, we're probably going to lose a whole lot of elections because third parties typically don't have a chance. But I'm tired of my voice and my vote being taken for granted. And that's on our side. Imagine being a minority. I mean, look, I've talked to Kay Carl Smith, Stanley Mack, Thomas Sowell. You know our list of friends, our black conservative friends. And I just had – I was speaking with Daryl – oh, I can't remember Daryl's last name right off the top of my head. I'm a little jarred right at the moment. He made a great post the other day, and we got to chatting about it. How, you know, he was making the correlation that in the days of slavery, the slaves were thrown the bottom half of the beef, you know, the bottom half of the pig, the bottom half of the cow. You know, you got the trotters, you got the chitlins, all that stuff. They were thrown the scraps. And, you know, I made the comment, you know, my grandmother used to talk about people that lived high on the hog and how that came about, because the richer folks, you know, they got the meat that was higher up on the hog, where the poor folks got the meat that was further down on the hog. And the analogy he was making was that, you know, even to this day, and we saw it in Runaway Slave. Kay Carl talks about this all the time. It's why I'm reading that book, Frederick Douglass, and familiarizing myself with the Frederick Douglass methodology, you know, of preaching, you know, respect for the Constitution, respect for individual rights, respect for life, and, you know, the desire to have less government in our lives. And approaching it from a different way of speaking than I do currently, so as, you know, because the minute you say you're a Republican, you're Tea Party, or you're conservative, if you're not a white person, a white man, you're, for the most part, the media has conditioned folks that those three words mean you're a racist or a misogynist. And so I'm studying up on this Frederick Douglass methodology so that I can learn to speak to people and communicate to people that are probably Democrats, but that probably have conservative values, but so that they don't tune me out right from the beginning. And, you know, the Republican Party wants to tune us. They want to tune us out until it's time to vote, that is. Then they'll come seeking our help.
Yeah, and isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame, Michael?
Well, yeah, it is, because you and I and many of our friends have worked our butts off for the last 2 years. You know, thank goodness I live in Texas on this tax thing. Imagine living in California, a state that's near bankrupt.
Good Lord.
Not only do you pay your 40% in federal taxes, but then you pay another 20-25% in state taxes. I mean, those poor fools. Who was that golfer a few weeks ago, the one, I forget his name, thinking about moving down to Costa Rica or wherever? That poor man has 60-63% of every dollar he makes goes to the government in some form. Shape or form.
Michael Center, something like that, yeah. I don't follow golf. Unless you hit a ball in the air and I shoot it, I'll follow that.
You know, so it's we're going down the wrong path. We know that. We preach it to the choir every Sunday. But I guess
hopefully the choir gets bigger and the choir gets louder and the choir out-sings us. You know what I'm saying? That's what I hope for, you know. That's what I truly hope for, man. But we do have a little break to go on, so.
Yeah, let's do the little break, and then let's pull AJ in here, brother.
Sounds good to me.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, PCS4Automation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, Automation.com.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Just got paid today. took it all away. Hey, conservatives respect pioneers, Uncle Bing, and Brenda Ward has been with ConservativeNationRadio.org since the very beginning. Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingram, Ann Coulter, Monica Crowley have nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central is the place to hear from real women who are real patriots. So let your voice be heard. Incidentally, conservative guys, you're welcome at your very own B&B 2. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatives for real conservatism. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. I am Michael B. along with my brother Uncle Bing. The phone number 718-305-7176. It's 21 after the hour. Brother Bing, let's bring on Alex Retzig.
Come on, Alex.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
Alex, how you been doing since the last time we chatted, my brother?
Pretty good. Bing, it sounds like you're on a roll today.
I'm in a mood, man. I'm in a real mood. I mean, it ain't going to take much to tick me off today, okay? So, but you won't. I know you won't. But.
Well, Alex, you know, you probably heard us talking my intro and talking about everything that's going on. And, of course, you're the author of Freedom Redo. And we've chatted to you about the first book that's already out, and you're working on the second book. We wanted to get you on a little bit today, talk about it, because I think you got the first couple of chapters that are going to be coming out pretty soon. Tell us where we're going. The last book was so in line with what we're actually living today. I'm kind of interested to see how it keeps up with modern history. I'm beginning to think that Alex Retzig is observing the news, observing what's going on around him, and he's writing a very fantastic dystopian series that kind of models what's really happening.
Yeah, in a lot of ways it does. You know, when I came up with the idea for the series, I kind of took, stuff that's going on today and said, okay, you know, where does it go from here? What's the next step? A lot of it has to do with what's going on today. As far as book two, I had hoped to have chapters one and chapters two up on my blog this week, but unfortunately the flu slowed me down. So hopefully next week it'll be posted up there. Everybody can start taking a look at what I've got so far. As far as where the book's going, this book takes place approximately 6 months after the end of Escape to Freedom. Most of the same characters are returning in this book. I start the book out with sort of an action sequence. In this book, Kirk Dillon, the main character, and his son Sebastian, they're on the road in Texas, just outside of Austin, and they're trying to avoid a drone attack.
Well, Austin would be a good place for a drone attack. I love that, Alex. I really do. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the hill country. Austin is some pretty country, but man, oh man, talk about a miniature San Francisco.
it is. I lived out in Dallas, man. Go through Austin, it's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah. So the book starts out on that note. And as far as, you know, what's going on in the story, in the 6 months since the end of Escape to Freedom, there have been 10 states that have seceded from the United States. 9 of them have decided to form a new nation. Through the course of the book, we see the Constitutional Convention going on, them drafting their constitution, which will be based on the U.S. Constitution, more protections for the citizens and more limits on the government, more emphasis on the states will be put in into the Constitution. And actually, that's one of the things that's kind of taken me so long on writing the series, is going back and trying to rewrite the Constitution. Not really rewriting it, but looking at where, you know, where today it's been perverted, so to speak, and you know, okay, how can we prevent the power mad politicians from using this against the people of the nation, exploiting it, so to speak.
Well, you know, I'm gonna that's gonna be interesting. Being is getting to read Alex's how he conceptualizes and writes a new constitution. I'll be very interested to read that, Alex.
Yeah, and the way I'm envisioning, I'm going to have, you know, like I said, throughout the course of the book, there will be sections and chapters where they're dealing with the debates that are going on in this constitutional convention. But at the end of the book, I plan to have an appendix that will have, you know, the constitution that they come up with as written. So, you know, some people may like it, some may not, but you know, we'll see where it goes.
Well, Alex, I popped into the chat room real quick, and Barbara Buffing had of course, Barbara read book one.
She's your biggest fan, man.
Yeah, Barbara's a huge fan of yours, Alex.
Oh, I know she is.
And she's wanting to know how many books are going to be in the Freedom Redo series.
You know, I don't have a certain number.
Just till you win the battle.
Yeah. I mean, I've got basically a sort of a timeline progression kind of thing figured out. But as far as how many books that takes for me to get there, I'm not exactly sure. I'm going to say there's going to be at least five. You know, quite possibly more. And you know, who knows if it ends up, you know, being a bestseller or something like that, you know, it may end up being a whole lot more than five books.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Alex, man, you get Barbara on your side, she'll get that to be a bestseller. I'm telling you. That girl could sit there and you know, she will promote, all right?
Oh, yeah, that's why she's our promotion.
Love you,
manager.
Barbara. Yes,
let's move back to that drone thing real quick, you know, because that's been in the news a lot, Alex. I'm just curious now, and I don't want you to give away anything, because we want people to buy the book and read it, obviously. But on this drone thing, you know, let's speak first in real terms right now, mine and being and everybody, you know, conservative spheres. You know, I personally have no problem, and I don't care, you know, I mean, I applaud Obama for saying, you know, we're going to drone the enemy, even if it's an American citizen who's taken up arms against the United States overseas. Here's my fear, and I think most of our fear, is the slippery slope it creates, because, you know, DHS a few years ago did put out a letter, and they did kind of blankly designate certain groups of people in the United States proper whom they deem to be potential terrorists. Bing and I would fall into that category.
Oh, yes. So would I.
Yes, as you would, and as would most of the people that listen to this program. And
yeah,
so,
you know what, Michael? There's a difference here, though, and I don't want to interrupt that too much. But you know, when you renounce your citizenship and you go to another country and you talk about killing Americans, I'm sorry, you pretty much, you know, even if you don't renounce your citizenship and you go to another country and talk about killing Americans, you pretty much renounce your citizenship.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, you pick up an arm against America, you're dead meat. However, it's going to be, you're dead meat. But with this particular administration, and, you know, I'm sure there's people listening thinking, wow, Michael's really got his tinfoil hat on tight today. But I don't trust this administration. I'm sorry. I just don't trust him. And you know, if they've already defined certain groups, Tea Parties, veterans, conservative grassroots, certain segments within the United States proper, the 48, that they are already saying these folks have the potential to be terrorists, then at what, you know, my concern is at what point do they say, you know, Michael Smith right there in Hazlitt, Texas on Philly Street, let's put a drone over his home. Now, I know that's a bit far-fetched, but where I'm going with the question here, Alex, is that more or less the way you're going with that? Is it we fell down the slippery slope where we started off allowing the drone attacks on U.S. citizens that by essentially revoked their citizenship by picking up arms against the Americans, their home country, but by virtue of, say, let's say this DHS letter and the broad paintbrush that was stroked over certain people that those on the left already consider to be potential terrorists in the 48, is that kind of the way you're going with that? Is that how the drone thing?
It's sort of a combination of that, and then at the same time, in this storyline, you saw at the end of the last, at the end of Escape to Freedom, that there was a large segment of the U.S. military that sided with the seceding states because their allegiance was with the Constitution. It was with, you know, the freedom, liberty, but, you know, not necessarily with the president. So there is a mistrust between that the president has in this story of the military. He's using the drones as more of a supplement or replacement for the actual military, just because he has direct control over the drones as opposed to soldiers that are thinking for themselves.
That's awesome. It sounds like we're kind of channeling a little bit of Tiananmen Square there, really, in an odd way. You know, we're kind of channeling what happened over there in Tiananmen Square when the guy stood up in front of that tank.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, from and you know, as the story goes along, you end up seeing more and more of it. But the you know, the new people that the president is bringing into the military, the new recruits, their selection, so to speak, is based on their loyalty to the president, not to the Constitution, not to the defense of the nation. It is all based on loyalty to the president, sort of the way Hitler and Stalin operated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's the whole thing. You know, I don't have a problem with people with drone strikes on unknown, you know, combatants. It's just the problem with this administration that they want to circumvent the military, and they want to do this all on their own. They want to be the military. They want to be the king. And that's the problem that I have. If it was somebody else or some or a different methodology of doing this, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I don't see a problem with it. But with this guy, I got a problem with it.
Hey, real quick, guys, we went a little long. I just need to pop in. We got to make a few bucks here real quick, Alex. So if you'll just hang on
right.
1 second, because we did go a little long, and I happen to know that the program director is in the chat room and listening, so I don't want to go to Huntsville. Hey, folks, listen, the leftist media would like conservatives like us to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TradAm, as we like to call it. And, you know, traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. So I would urge you, as well as Uncle Bing would urge you, to join up and find out what's happening and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That is www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I hope to see
liberal,
you there soon.
Liberal and, free zone, too.
Absolutely. We'll be right back, folks.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys. Did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
My name is Ruth Rusi. I volunteer with United Way, reading to children to help prepare them for a better academic future. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
Mississippi Queen. Hey, Bing, did you know that conservatives...
You gotta love Mountain Man.
Oh, brother, let me tell you. Hey, you know, that commercial that we played it going into that heartbreak, did you know that conservatives really don't wear tinfoil hats?
Oh, really? Oh, I gotta take mine off then. Dude.
Hey, yeah, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Uncle Bing in Tennessee and Michael B. here in Texas. We've got hosts, the phone number 718-305-7176. We do want to thank you all, by the way. You know, Bing and I are just so blessed, Bing, we really are. And Alex, hang on one second, brother. We're so blessed that we have the audience that we have. Our numbers are growing by leaps and bounds, folks. I want to share with y'all, we're right around 8,000 or 9,000 listens a month now on Conservative Nation Radio, and that's across the whole board. That's all shows. That's just not Soldiers of Patriotism. So we, from the bottom of mine and Bing's heart, and we just want to thank you all for supporting Conservative Nation Radio, for supporting Soldiers of Patriotism. Bing and I think it's fair to say we pride ourselves on making our show, that is Soldiers of Patriotism, the show to be the voice of the people that listen to us, and we encourage y'all to call in. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and you can get a hold of us. It's so easy. Go to conservativenationradio.org or traditionalamericanmovement.com. Mine and Bing's emails are Michael or Bing, and then at conservativenationradio.org. You can reach us on Skype. You know, I give my cell phone number out freely, 817-812-6965. I take calls all the time from folks that just want to call and say, Michael, I got an idea, or this, that, or whatever. So this is your show, and we do appreciate it. Alex, we've got Alex Resig on, who's the author of Freedom Redo, and he's talking to us a little bit about the next book, the next chapter, or the next book in the series, After Escape to Freedom, which we've already had Alex on to talk about. So let's bring Bing real quick. Well, Bing had to skip out for just a second. He's filled in a phone call. But Alex, let's pull you back in here. Thank you very much for joining us today. So we were talking about the drone attacks over Austin, and you, of course, in the book, you're rewriting the Constitution. Tell folks, well, first of all, give some folks, let's give the folks where they can find you on Facebook, your website, your Twitter, all of that good stuff, Alex.
Yeah, it's on my website, it's spelled freedomredux and then .com. And from there, there's links to my Facebook page, my Twitter account, LinkedIn, all those different social media outlets. So you can find me there. If you're interested in my book Escape to Freedom, right now I've got it both on my website and then it's also at Amazon, and it's been searched enough on Amazon. If you just put in Escape to Freedom under books, it'll pull me right up. Available both paperback and also in the Kindle ebook. And actually starting beginning of next month, it will be available in other versions or other formats for ebooks. So if you've got a Nook or the Sony e-reader, it's starting next month, it'll be available on those also.
Right, exactly. So so when are we going to be looking at a little teaser chapter or two coming out on and what is the name of book two going to be?
Name of book two is Birth of the Republic.
Ah, okay.
Ooh, I like that.
And actually, book three, which I've kind of already started working out the plot and got my notes together on that one. Book three is going to be titled Rise of the Republic.
Ah, interesting. I like that. So the last book, I forget how many pages Escape to Freedom was not a hard read at all. I mean,
the paperback version, which was a 6x9 size, was about 300 pages. And I purposely wrote it to not be a hard read, wanted it to be readable by a big variety of audiences.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Alex, let's bring in a few. The phone lines are stacking up. We got a lot of folks calling in here. I see one.
We've got a break here coming up, and then we got David Vance coming in to do Sip Right Up or Sip Right Up segment after 45 here.
Okay. Well, I tell you what. Let's at least take this one phone call, and that should take us into the break, and then we'll of course. Alex, you know, Bing and I, we told you offline, and we'll tell you online, publicly as well. You've always got a home here on Conservative Nation Radio and Soldiers of Patriotism. I was going to tell you, folks, if you go to our show page on conservativenationradio.org, we've always got a banner up for Freedom Redo that will take you right to Alex.
Yep.
So that
awesome.
Stays there. It's just it's a permanent part of our show page. But I'm pretty sure this 919 area code, I'm pretty sure I know who this is. Barbara, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing terrific. What do you got for
Hello,
Alex?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm
hey,
having
Alex,
I'm having a good time.
Oh, good. I like good times. But I was just wondering, why are you going to rewrite the Constitution? Why don't you just use the one that we have? So a lot of the Americans that don't know exactly what it says will learn what it says.
Well, and actually, for the most part, it will be unchanged from what we have now. Most of where you'll see the changes, one is for the presidency. I am changing that so that it is a 6-year term, one term only, no exceptions. Limits on both the House of Representatives and on the Senate as far as how long representatives can serve on both of those.
Well, and I would think after the problems that we're suffering now, if I were going to rewrite the Constitution, I would write in stuff such as outlawing socialism, etc.
And what about a Declaration of Independence? Are you going to use that too?
the way I've been writing it, the declaration remains as is, and they will consider it part of their history just as much as the United States.
Okay, cool.
Very good.
Awesome. Well, Barbara, stand by. Alex, we're up against a soft break here, and then we've got our next segment coming on. We do want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. You're welcome to hang around. We've got Tom Hoefling coming up after Dave Vance, who's going to do our step right up. You know, Alex, since the last time you were with us, Bing and I, the show's growing constantly. We've got a step right up segment now where we invite our listeners, and we have a different listener every month that puts, or every week that puts together a rant and gets to come on and gets 15 minutes. So that's coming up next, our step right up. But you're welcome to hang on if you'd like, and we're going to have Tom Hoefling on, and then, we'll, of course, the last 30 minutes or so, about 4:30, we'll have, after the hard break at 4:30, we'll have our round table where we open up the mics and just let everybody shoot the breeze. So you're welcome to hang on if you'd like or whatever you'd like.
Do.
But we really want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. And keep our phone number in your wallet. Alex, you know you're welcome.
Bet.
You could do a drive-by anytime and say, hey, guys, just want to call in real briefly and update you or whatever.
Yeah, I can hang on for about another 15 minutes, and then I've got to get moving. But, yeah, I'll stay on as long as I can.
All right, Alex, thanks a lot.
All right,
hey, Bing, real quick, we got to go into this break, and then we got to get Dave on because we do have Tom Hoefling, the president of America's Party, coming on, and I think that's going to be real interesting. And, you know, by the way, Bing, let's just, you know, for all those folks that are secret members of the Joe McCarthy fan club, want to encourage them to join Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, for Radio Free America. You know, Duke lists anti-communist among his hobbies. Now, that's got to say a lot to you right there, Bing.
Well, yeah, and, you know, he's actually a soft-spoken guy, so, you know, that says a lot to me, too. He's very good.
He's not soft-spoken to me.
Well, no, you deal with him on a personal deal, man. I don't have to deal with him that well. I do have to. Okay.
He whips my butt into shape, but that's why he's our program director. But, you know, anyway, he does. He lists anti-communist among his hobbies, which is probably why NBC didn't hire him to fly a national network news helicopter. But if you but if you love history and you love politics and you like to talk about flying and you know, the occasional Whitaker Chambers reference, check out Duke Brooks on Radio Free America. That's on Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern. 6 p.m. Central, right here on the conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. We'll be right back.
Happy holidays, everybody. This is Brad Paisley for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. When you're traveling during the holidays and see somebody who's had too much to drink about to get behind the wheel, well, get those keys and save a life. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Yeah, buddy, you got to
love CCR, man. Well, then John Fogerty, I mean, I guess he made that group, but I don't know. Some people say that, but I think there's a lot of other people involved in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and that's what I love about our show, being a couple of good old Southern boys. We get to intersperse some good old Southern rock in our show here. We're going to end the show with, I know Duke's going to be upset with me, but I picked out a good song today. I'm in the mood for a good song to end this show, so we're going to end it with a three-minute song, actually. So, anyway, hey, bring in Brother Dave, and let's get this Step Right Up segment going, my brother.
I got Dave queued up. Dave Vance is he's been involved in politics here in Tennessee quite a bit, and he's got a rant that he's going to talk to you about, and we're going to do it right after this show, or this song. Take it away, Dave, anytime you want.
Hey, thanks, Bing. Wanted to talk a little bit today about Senate Bill 250 and the Tennessee Senate. We had a committee meeting earlier in the week, last week, where the chair of the committee, Senator Brian Kelsey from Germantown, basically made the statement that in response to a bill that would allow our state government to step in if the federal government overreached in reference to gun control, in reference to our Second Amendment. And it was interesting to hear Senator Kelsey's ideas about the Constitution. The sponsor of the bill was Senator May Beavers, a great American who actually understands the Constitution and that it was a document that limited government and not a document that created a federal government that can do anything and everything that it wants. But after hearing what Senator Beavers had to say, Senator Kelsey responded that that he considered himself a defender of the Second Amendment and federalism, but that he felt it was his duty to uphold the whole Constitution. And he made a statement, a remarkable statement, just unbelievable statement, that the Supremacy Clause was also part of the Constitution and that he has to uphold that as well. And of course, he read off the Supremacy Clause, and I'll read it real quick just to give everybody a point of reference. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, that's a key point, in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. And he made it a point to state that was in the main body of the Constitution, and that, of course, the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment and Bill of Rights came later, and so that in his mind, that meant that the Supremacy Clause basically outweighed not only the Second Amendment and the Tenth Amendment, but the Bill of Rights. And really, by that reason, it would outweigh all the amendments that we have. That was hard to believe, but it's unfortunately his thinking that the federal government is supreme in everything is way too common when you're talking about our lawmakers, whether you're talking state or federal, when you're talking about our courts. But that's not what the Constitution laid out, and it shows an ignorance of how we have, how we got our Bill of Rights. And matter of fact, the Supremacy Clause was one of the clauses in the Constitution, along with the Commerce Clause and the Necessary and Proper Clause, that led to us having a Bill of Rights. Because after people like Patrick Henry, George Mason, and some others read the proposed Constitution, they're like, whoa, this gives the central government, the federal government, way too much power. We don't want to replace it with what we just got rid of. And so That is one of the clauses that led to us having a Bill of Rights. Otherwise, the Constitution would not have been ratified. And we did, of course, have the Bill of Rights ratified, and because it was those sticking points that, hey, look, we're not creating this one government that tells us all how to do everything. But by Kelsey's version of the Constitution, everything else is moot. Kelsey's Constitution basically creates the type of government that we've always fought against. And if you look at the totalitarian governments that we fought against, even just if you look in the Cold War, what were we fighting against? We were fighting against that. And this guy basically endorsed a federal government with no limits, a federal government that, you know, respects your rights if it wants to, but it's not bound to. There's nothing to compel it to do so. And it's just sad that, number one, there's that that's a prevailing view among liberals, whether they be Democrat or Republican liberals. He happens to be a Republican liberal, whether he realizes it or not. So it was really, you know, disturbing to see that we have somebody who's elected to represent the people that is that historically ignorant. And it's also dangerous. But it also, in a way, it kind of epitomizes where we're at in our country today. Which view is going to prevail? Is it going to be that whatever the federal government says, whether it be the Congress, the President, or the Supreme Court, is it going to be what they say every time? That hasn't worked out so well for us. You know, this country was, even at our founding, we've always had our differences, and that's why we had the Bill of Rights. That's why we have the Ninth Amendment. That's why we have the Tenth Amendment. It's because this government was never intended to be a one-size-fits-all. And it's dangerous that we have people like him in office that see no limit to the federal government and don't see that, okay, just allowing a Supreme Court to be the final arbiter, which Senator Beavers pointed out rightfully that was never the intent. They've taken on a lot of that. Congress has allowed them to take on a lot of that because that way Congress could avoid some controversial subjects. But Article 3, Section 2 makes it clear that Congress can limit the power of the Supreme Court in terms of their appellate jurisdiction. So that's not a very long rant, I realize, but it's just...
David, this kind of argument is going on all across the country. It's big government or big people, you know, or little people, I guess.
Right.
And isn't that what it boils down to in a nutshell?
Well, it does. This is really the argument, but here's the problem. There's a lot of people that don't even realize it, and they've got to understand that, you know, to give in to this attitude of the Supremacy Clause and or the Supreme Court said, and we've got to roll over, that basically just makes states just extensions of the federal government. I mean, state government, really, in their view, I guess should just wait for D.C. to send down orders and tell them how to do things, and that's all they're needed for. I mean, they really want to pretty much cut out our Bill of Rights. You know, their logic cuts out our Bill of Rights, and it doesn't recognize any God-given rights. It sets up the federal government as the entity that doles out rights or restricts rights.
Well, and I obviously you're in touch with May Beavers, right?
No. I just happened to listen to it. I mean, I've met her once, don't know her all that well, but I can tell you this just from following legislation the last couple of years. She's one of the best in the state in terms of standing up for constitutional principles and taking heat for it. Matter of fact, here's another sad fact. May Beavers used to chair. Now, this was the Judiciary Committee, which makes that all this much worse, but she used to chair that. And our Lieutenant Governor, Ron Ramsey, decided that for whatever reason that she just was not a team player. That was the comment made, and he didn't go into details, but he said she was not a team player. And so she was replaced with Kelsey. So he replaced somebody who not only understood and stands up for the Constitution, but somebody that doesn't understand the history of the Constitution and apparently has no respect for our Bill of Rights. That's who our Lieutenant Governor put on the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. So that's pretty sad, and it seems to be what's going on in Tennessee, and I'm sure it's probably going on in other states.
The sad fact is, Dave, is that, you know, I was a big fan of the lieutenant governor, you know, big fan. And it was like, you know, during the last election and so on before that, and now I'm just like, I don't know, I this guy is freaking me out.
I voted for him as well. I campaigned for him to a degree. I thought that he meant it when he said, you know, that, you know, the commercial about his boots and booting out the federal government. Well, it seems to me that ever since Ron Ramsey, since Bill Haslam has become governor, I think he took Ron's boots off, gave him some flip-flops made from Pilot, and Ron puts his boots on every now and then, but every time Ron puts his boots on now, it's to kick a conservative. It's never to stand for conservative principles.
You know, about that, but it's actually it actually is funny, and it's the truth. That is the truth.
Yeah.
That's what we face in Tennessee. Now, I don't know if you're in another state. You know, we got a wide listening audience, okay? You might be in another state, and you might have, you know, the same thing happening in your state. If you guys would like to come on Step Right Up, and Dave, thank you for being on here, man. We appreciate it. If you got any links that you want to share, I'm sure Kurt can put them in chat or get them spread around, but... Yeah, we need to stop this, man. This is a danger.
To get the whole deal on this,
danger.
To get the whole rundown on this, go to the 10th Amendment Center website, and the Tennessee 10th Amendment website, and they have it on there right now. They have, you can hear the whole audio for yourself. You can read the bill. You can read everything for yourself.
So. All right. Well, thank you so much, Dave. I mean, I'm so proud that you took the time to step right up. And get
all right. Appreciate what y'all do.
I'm telling you what. Hopefully this will get out to everybody, and they'll make it happen. They'll make something happen.
Well, I hope so. I appreciate what you guys do, and take care, and have a good day.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Bye.
All right, Ben. Well, we're up against the heartbreak here, brother.
Yeah, we're going to pass that. But...
Well, you know how it is. ConservativeNationRadio.org. is very proud to welcome former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee to the Sound of Freedom with Higg and Resch Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Carl, the well-known author of The Battle on the Home Front and the outspoken critic of the Obama administration. I guess nobody told these guys in the White House not to mess with Navy SEALs. Carl Higbee is a real patriot who talks the talk and walks the walk. So listen to The Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. We'll be right back, folks, and we're going to be bringing on Tom Hoefling, president of America's Party.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Cool. Who's asking?
I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Stop.
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like, consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Ah!
Live from Patriot Studios, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bing and Michael B.
Sunday afternoon to you. It's 6 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Michael B. That's me here in Texas, along with my brother, Uncle Bing from Tennessee. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Again, that's 718-305-7176. You can find us at conservativenationradio.org, as well as at our partner's website, traditionalamericanmovement.com. Brother Bing, we are so honored today. We have got our next guest on the line with us now. He's got an open mic. That is Tom Hoefling. He is the president of America's Party. Folks, I've been looking at this party. We're all a little pretty upset and disgruntled with the Republican Party right now. They have put us out to pasture. They don't appreciate we conservatives. They don't appreciate the Tea Party. They don't appreciate conservative grassroots, 9-12ers, liberty activists. They don't appreciate us. They've swept us under the rug. Karl Rove is in an all-out war against us. You know, we talk about this from Sunday to Sunday. We've talked about, what are we going to do? Do we need a third party? You know, there's the logical side of us that says third parties typically don't have a chance. My question is, do they typically don't have a chance because not enough of us have yet gotten mad enough to convince ourselves that we need to go with a third party? Brother Bing, what do you think?
Well, I don't know if it's that so much. It's just that the media especially is, after Ross Perot, I was on Ross Perot's campaign, and I'll sit there to this day and sit there and say, I can go to my grave and sleep good, you know.
Well, he pulled in what, about 30, was it 16, 20%?
22%, 21%, something like that. You know, look, you know, when you've got the message or the product, it'll sell. You know, I think politicians fail to realize this and understand that. When you got a good product, it will sell. So,
well, I happen to know that America's Party are partisans only for America's founding principles. You can go to selfgovernment.us and you can read all about America's Party. Brother Bing, let's bring in our friend, Tom Hoefling, and introduce him to our audience, and introduce America's Party to our audience. And let's talk seriously about what we need to do moving forward. Mr. Hoefling, are you there?
I am. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, hello, good afternoon, Tom. To you, Tom. And thank you so much for joining us today, Tom. I've already given everybody your website address, and I've told them one sentence, about believing in the principles of the founding of the United States of America. Give us, Tom, tell us a little bit, tell our listeners a little bit about you, and tell us about America's Party, and let's just take this conversation where it goes. We've got people online. I'm sure they're going to have questions for you. You probably didn't hear the beginning of the show, but, you know, today here in Texas is the 24th of February. It's the day that Travis wrote his famous letter, and it left the Alamo. And it called on patriots to step up and do what was right. And I think we're at a critical time in our nation's history, Tom, where it's time for us to step up. And America's Party might be where we need to step up, too. So the floor is yours, sir.
Well, thank you. You read that one line that we're partisans only for principle. And I'd like to explain that a little bit, because I think most people realize that both of these major parties have failed us. When I go talk to people all across this country, even sometimes in mixed company, you know, people across the political spectrum, and I'll assert right up front, both these major parties have failed us. And I can just see virtually all of the heads bobbing in agreement. So I think we've already won that argument. And how have they failed us? In the first place, it's the failure of principle. They've departed from the founding principles of this country, the principles upon which our whole system of government, self-government, representative self-government, and our claim to liberty are based. They've just departed from them, you know, starting with the principles that we find in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident. They don't even understand it anymore. They raise their right hand and swear an oath to support the Constitution, and it's just a photo op. It's nothing more than a formality. They don't even understand the basis for a Constitution, much less what it requires of them, obviously. So I think most people realize we've got a principled problem. We lack principled leadership. We have a leadership vacuum throughout our political elites. So, again, I think most people are realizing that because they see it in the news every day.
And, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead, Bing.
I was going to say, you know, so to go with a third party, okay, everybody in the Tea Party, you know, that I'm a member of, years ago and you know, up until now, you know, we've been sitting there going, you know, I think we can fix this GOP bus. It's just got a lot of crap on it that we don't need. Let's get rid of it. But I'm trying to figure out how to sell this another party or the even the inclination of thinking about another party to the rest of the people out there. How would you sell that, Tom?
Well, that's what makes America's party completely different. We're not trying to be a third party as most people think of a third party. If we just try and be another GOP or another Democrat party, we believe that will fail. It'll fail in many important ways, and it just will come to nothing. Historically, since the rise of the Republican Party, third-party efforts have failed. They've been co-opted back into the two major parties, and that's been that. So we're not really trying to be the typical third party, and that's what that sentence, we're partisans only for principle, means. We've put together what we call a meta party, and if you look up that prefix, meta, one of its meanings is it's beyond party. Since we started the party 5 years ago, we've often made reference to George Washington's farewell address. You know, he was really our last independent president. And he, in his farewell address, he spent, I don't know, 8 or 10 long paragraphs warning the country, warning posterity strictly against the dangers of both regional and party factionalism. So we do things completely different. We make our political associations, we make our political endorsements, we make our political nominations based solely on that core set of American principles that we base everything on, and not on party labels. We're ready to run people on all kinds of ballot lines. The people we've gotten elected so far have been primarily elected with ours by their names. We don't care. Doesn't matter. Who cares about the party label? What we want to know is, do they understand the principles? Do they understand the stated purposes of the Constitution that we read in the preamble? And do they have a proven commitment to keeping their oath of office that they're swearing to God to keep? And so that's what we care about.
And, you know, but reading your platform, Tom, there's one part in there that I just want to read real quickly to everybody. And it's the last paragraph, or the second to the last paragraph, if you will, in the party's platform. Our work is dedicated to God, to all the patriots who came before us in self-sacrifice for liberty, to all those who now faithfully serve our country, and to the posterity that we will enjoy the blessed fruit of all their labors. And I think that says a lot. I mean, I'm a veteran, and I read that two ways, not only to those that are now faithfully serving our country in uniform, but those that are faithfully serving our country in the causes that we believe in as citizen patriots, as citizen
absolutely
warriors, if you will. That's what I tend to call them. My friends that may have served or may not have served, but that have been fighting diligently and taking an active role within their communities to field the right candidates without party affiliation necessarily, though they do typically tend to be Republican, just simply because the Democratic Party has diverged so far to the left that it's hard to find one that you can actually support.
Well, that's true. I feel pretty much the same way, though, these days about the Republican Party. We have a mass failure, and you know, we've got to clean house, and we need to clean house in Washington, but we need to do it in all of our state capitals as well. I live here in the state of Iowa, and we've got all of the same problems. It's just a matter of scale down in Des Moines that we have in Washington, and you know, that's the bottom line. People don't realize there's only a little more than 6,000 state level and federal level offices in this country. Those are the people who make our public policy. Those are the people who make our laws. Those are the people who decide how much we're taxed and how we're taxed. Those are the people who decide whether we're going to continue killing 3,000-4,000 little babies a day in this country. Those are the people who decide whether these judges continue to get away with violating their oaths and getting outside of their jurisdiction, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So,
hey, Tom.
So, yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I just, you know, we need to focus. We need to focus on finding and recruiting and running and winning with truly principled candidates. That's the key to everything.
And I have got a question I can almost feel, and Brother Bing probably knows who I'm going to ask about. We got to go into a soft break real quick, but I can feel the vibes coming through the computer. Ask him about this one particular person. You'll stand by for about 2 minutes, Tom. We'll be right back. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to wrong one. Let me put that down. We'll just do a couple of PSAs real quick. We'll be right back.
Confusion over someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the 5 signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Michael B. and Uncle Bing. We do have the honor of speaking to the president of America's Party, Tom Hoefling. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Again, that is 718-305-7176. We do encourage you to call in. Tom would be more than happy to take phone calls today. We do have some phone calls in queue already, Tom. Tom, I can feel everybody wanting to know right now with what you just said, and I'm so glad you kind of expounded on that a little bit. So more or less, America's Party is not necessarily a third party in that someone's going to run as a candidate from America's Party, but more or less an organization that gets behind candidates regardless of what party they belong to, as long as they fall in agreement with the values and the platform of America's Party. So with that in mind, what are your thoughts on Dr. Benjamin Carson?
I got to tell you, I don't know enough about the man yet. I certainly appreciated his courage in standing up in the face of Barack Obama and speaking the truths that he spoke. but I don't know enough about him. If folks go to selfgovernment.us and they read our platform and they read our leadership pledge, they'll see our equal protection for posterity resolution. And I don't know where Dr. Carson stands vis-a-vis the equal protection of innocent human life. So I just can't even answer that question yet.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, he's not vetted as of this time. He's certainly an interesting character, and I'd like to hear more out of him.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I kind of feel the same way. I mean, all I know about him, Tom, is what I heard at the National Prayer Breakfast. What I heard, I enjoyed. There's a lot more vetting that needs to be done. I know a lot of people are jumping on his bandwagon now. A friend of ours that started the Draft Cain movement has added me to his draft Benjamin Carson. And, of course, Maurice, being a friend of mine, I accepted the invitation, and I'm monitoring it and staying up with it. I don't know at this point that I'm ready to jump on the Benjamin Carson bandwagon, but I certainly did enjoy what he said and agree with what I know so far that I've heard him say.
Yeah, and you know, Michael, this is the problem that we have with a lot of these politicians, is they say one thing and they do another, you know. And I guess a lot of people are sitting there and they're just, you know, burnt out on it. You know, they're totally burnt out on it. So, really, you know, I mean, Benjamin Carson, I mean, I commented on that leg too, Michael, and I said, I bet that, you know, the rest of them were sitting there sweating bullets, you know, listening to him speak. But the thing is that, you know, it seems like there's an air in D.C. Once you get into D.C., you become some kind of zombie or something totally different than what you were, you know, before. And, you know, that's a problem that we have to overcome, I guess, or we have to realize.
Yeah, I mean, this is why we wrote our leadership pledge. I mean, people have to vet these candidates based on public policies they support, and also they have to look at what other politicians they support. You know, if somebody tells me, I always use the analogy, you know, some guy says, well, I believe in marital fidelity, right? And they say that all the time, right? But they go out and fool around on the weekend, right? And then they come back Monday and say, I believe in marital fidelity. Am I supposed to believe their words or their actions? And we got a lot of people out there, they say a lot of the nice words, like, let me use one figure as an example, Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio, when he first came to my attention, and I think it was about the time he came to a lot of people's attention, was when he stepped down as the Speaker of the Florida House. He gave a farewell address, shall we say. And it was a wonderful speech. I listened to it, and I thought, wow, you know, this guy's really slick. This guy's really good. But I didn't just jump on his bandwagon. I wanted to know more. And we started questioning him about his support for personhood, for the equal protection of innocent life, on amnesty, on the protection of our borders, et cetera. And it didn't take long for us to figure out this was not a guy we could support.
Absolutely.
So,
Tom, I just wanted to, speaking of your leadership pledge, I just dropped the link in the chat room. I just wanted to read real quick. I just wanted to intersperse here the very first part. I believe we're one nation under God. The first sworn duty of every officer of the government is to protect the God-given inalienable rights to life, liberty, private property of every person from creation to natural death. The God-given institution of one man, one woman marriage, and the natural family must be protected. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Our national sovereignty, security, and borders must be defended. Our Republican form of representative self-government must be adhered to, and the oath of office to support and defend the Constitution of the United States must be fulfilled. I mean, who cannot agree with that is, I guess, my question.
Well, you know, I wrote that. That's 100 words, exactly, 100 words. And that's really, it's what we call our mini platform. Pretty much our core principles, the principles we believe are the cornerstone principles of this republic, are in those 100 words. And if candidates can't measure up to that, you know, it's all of a piece. for example, if you got some yahoo out there supporting gay marriage or something, and you see more and more of these people that are doing this, look, that whole thing is the destruction of the foundations of this country. The family, the natural family, is the first foundational building block of our entire civilization and our economics and everything else. And you see through the pushing of this homosexual agenda, you also see that beginning to erode our Republican form of government. You see our religious liberty being destroyed. You see our free speech rights being trampled upon. And so it's all of a piece. If candidates, I always say, look, if they won't protect the little babies, if they'll sell out the little babies, they will sell you out on everything else given enough political pressure. And I've got 25 years or so of political experience that tells me this is true.
Well, you know what? It's interesting you bring that up. You know, the whole thing is, too, on that kind of thing. And I keep getting into the gun control argument. But, you know, we have no problem with putting babies into the ground or whatever, you know, because we don't put a bullet in our head. But we got a gun problem like we do. And it's not a gun problem, it's a social problem, or whatever. It might be whatever. But we've got a problem with identifying what that truly is, you know? And it just...
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I mean, let me take another thread and just demonstrate how these things all work together. You know, our public schools, if you go back to John Dewey, back in the 1920s, the father of the modern American educational system. He went over to Russia about the same time that Margaret Sanger did, the eugenicist founder of Planned Parenthood. The Soviet Union adopted John Dewey's educational ideas. They said, this is perfect for the Soviet Union. They totally adopted them. Okay, so we have this educational system that is driven out God, that is inculcating our children with... ideas that are completely contrary to all those things that y'all just read a few minutes ago. And then we wonder why, you know, you've got some 20-year-old kid, you know, sitting in his basement playing video games, you know, basically on a mass murder simulator, you know, all day, all night long for a couple of years. And then we wonder why he goes out and heartlessly murders 20 little children. You know, all of these things tie together.
They do, and you don't hear anybody. And I would be the last. I mean, look, you know, Tom, you know, you and I, we've communicated. I post a little bit on America's Party Facebook there, and I think part of the problem, you know, they're taking it to the next level now. The Obama administration, in all the other states other than Texas, not that Texas, because Texas didn't allow it, but they backdoored us, and I'll get to that in a minute. But this Common Core curriculum, which Bill Ayers and oh, I can't remember the lady, the other, Linda something or another. Linda Hamilton, I think is her name. Not Linda Hamilton. Linda Hamilton. Linda Darling Hamilton. I mean, these are two Obama acolytes, and Obama's pushing this Common Core curriculum. Now, here in Texas, we call it C-Scope because Governor Perry said no to Common Core, but they backdoored us. And this Linda Darling Hamilton and Bill Ayers and these folks came up with an alternative to, quote-unquote, the Common Core curriculum, and we call it C-Scope, and we've been battling that here. And I've posted on America's Party.
I'm very familiar with it. I've read up on it, yeah.
And it's very scary what they're doing and how they're going about indoctrinating our children, especially with this homosexual agenda. I mean, they constitute – look, I don't care who's with whom, what whom does with whom in their bedroom. I've got a problem with redefining the term of marriage. Frankly, I'm one of those kind of people that – thinks the government shouldn't be in the marriage business at all. I shouldn't have to go down to the county courthouse and get a marriage license. That's between me and my faith, my church. The most that the county needs to do is issue a civil union certificate. So I don't care
Correct.
If you're heterosexual or homosexual. That would alleviate this whole damn problem. And marriage is, to me, a religious rite. That's capital R-I-T-E, not right as in R-I-G-H-T. That aside, with what you were just saying about this indoctrination thing, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, they want to put their put they want to point their finger at guns as being the problem, yet they don't want to limit First Amendment rights. They don't care that Jamie Foxx or all of these actors over in Hollywood produce these movies that glorify the mass killings that they do. Now, I don't want to muzzle these people, but you know they want to talk about a 7-day waiting period on a gun. Well, why don't we put a 7-day waiting period on someone getting a permit to have a rally? Now, what would they say about that? If we were to put a 7-day waiting period on someone that wants to hold a rally, well, they say, you know, you don't need a gun right now. Why not wait 7 days? Well, okay, let's put a 7-day waiting period for you to go downtown and have a rally expressing your freedom of speech. You don't need to do that right. You need to wait 7 days and think about it.
You've laid a lot out there. Let me address all of it. First of all, these folks don't even understand what the word rights even means. What's the basis of the word rights? It's right. You see, you're talking about people that have abandoned the very concept of right and wrong. And so, therefore, they don't understand anything. They're claiming things as rights that are not rights. There is no right to do wrong. There never has been. There never will be. The natural law, the laws of nature and nature's God are what they are. You can claim it. You can claim that gravity doesn't exist and go jump off 80-foot cliffs if you want. But you're going to have to live with the results. Now, I disagree with you about marriage. Now, I do agree that it is a spiritual union that is the church is and should be involved in. But it's also our basic civic institution. And I believe it has to be protected at every level because it's the basis for our civil laws. It's the basis for inheritance rights. It's the basis for the family, which is the core, as I said before, the core foundational unit of our civilization and our economy and everything else. So I do believe that, you know, it's a little different than the life issue in that when we discuss the life issue, we have God's law, we have the Bible, we have the natural law basis for our country that people like Samuel Adams laid out. We have the principles of the Declaration, the stated purposes of the Constitution, and the explicit imperative requirements of the Constitution, which require equal protection for every single person, that require that every state provide for the equal protection of the laws. So we have all of that in the Constitution when it comes to the defense of innocent life. Our founders never, I guess, imagined. I listened to the last 10 minutes of your previous guest, and he was talking about the Ninth Amendment. I was very gratified to hear somebody talking about the Ninth Amendment. Just because something isn't in the Constitution doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, and the founders knew that. James Madison and others, they didn't even want a Bill of Rights because they felt that if you start laying out our rights, that someone would then jump to the conclusion that there weren't other rights that the people possessed.
Oh, that's an interesting point, yes.
So they lost that political argument with the Anti-Federalists, and so the first thing the new Congress did under the new Constitution was to pass the Bill of Rights. And Madison said, I've taken care of it by adding the Ninth Amendment. So marriage isn't talked about. They never even dreamt. I mean, even 30 years ago, and you guys are probably old enough.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, 20 years ago, who would have even imagined gay marriage? What are you talking about? The founders couldn't have conceived of such insane notion. And so they didn't deal with marriage in our Constitution. But, you know, that doesn't mean that right or wrong has changed in any way. And we're supposed to have a Republican form of government. Here a couple of years ago, I mentioned video games. California, even their liberal legislature, passed a law against selling these violent video games to minors. And the case was challenged, or the law was challenged. It went to court. It ended up all the way at the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, no, under the First Amendment, you can't keep children from buying these video games, including Scalia said this. These people, they don't even know what a Republican form of government is anymore. They're saying, no, we're ruling from Washington. You can't protect your children. And you know, so anyway, marriage must be protected, in my opinion, at every level. The federal government must protect it. It's a matter of national survival. The last supreme stated purpose of the U.S. Constitution is this. It's to secure the blessings of liberty to posterity. And you cannot do that if you've destroyed the natural family. You can't do it.
Absolutely.
No, I actually think it's a matter of national security.
Well,
in my opinion. So, yeah. I agree. Totally agree.
Well, look, I mean, just look how confused the liberals are, Tom. I mean, wasn't it in the late 80s, the early 90s when Tipper Gore, I mean, they want to give everybody, they want to allow people to do whatever feels, their feel-good party, maybe that's not the right term.
Liberals are
feel-good people. Yet, at the same time, they struggle with their own morals and values. Look what Tipper Gore did with the ratings on the albums, you know? I mean, that was all Tipper Gore. So they struggle. I mean, they don't have the courage of conviction that we have. And so, I mean, you could see how they struggle. I mean, I really feel sorry for liberals. I really do, in an odd kind of way.
Well, they're elitist, and they're tolerant of you as long as you obey what they say. You know, if you go against them, anything, then they're not. They'll throw you under the bus like they did Juan Williams and so on. They can't do anything. You know, they can't help it. That's just the way they are.
Well, there's a couple things. If you peel away all the layers of a liberal, a radical libertarian like an objectivist or anyone like that, you peel away all the layers, what you'll find is someone who has a problem with God. And if you trace the modern liberal, you know, progressive movement in this country, these are all people who, they wanted a new gospel. It's in their words. You can go read what they wrote. They want a new Christianity, one that leaves God out, leaves morality out. The biggest impediment to their plans, their utopian plans, is our claim that our rights come from God and that the purpose of government is to protect those rights. And I'm talking about real rights, not fake rights. See, they're turning natural law argumentation on its head. You know, they're going out knocking on doors and saying, oh, we're homosexuals and we love each other and we just be fair, you know, we just want to love each other. Okay, they're turning the natural law basis for our country on its head, because without basic morality, it's all it is destruction. You're just wreaking destruction on our country.
Well,
that is so true, Michael. I tell you what, I mean, there's tolerance and there's acceptance. I can tolerate a lot of stuff. I don't have to accept it. You know what I mean? And you know what he said too. Yeah, well, you know, I don't have to tolerate anything, actually, you know.
Well, look, if you really study the modern homosexual movement, here in my state, of course, we had, because we have an out-of-control state Supreme Court and we don't have an executive branch or a legislature that will rein them in, we had 7 state Supreme Court judges who imposed gay marriage on us. Now, we subsequently threw 3 of them out on their ear in a retention election. But if you go read the original court case, the homosexuals made it very clear what their goal is. It's to force society to accept what they do.
Right.
And I don't know how we got to this point, Tom, because you're absolutely right. And I don't think you even have to go back 30 years. I think you only have to go back 10 years. I mean, 10 years ago, we would have never I mean, 30 years ago, especially. But even 10 years ago, I mean,
yeah,
I guess we kind of saw it coming, but you never would have thought. And look, I mean, you know, I really don't care. I agree
agenda,
with you
Michael,
on the marriage thing and everything. But I guess when it comes right down to it, what you want to do in your bedroom, that's your business. Just don't bother me or mine with it. And, you know, but look, I work at a bank and I have to put up with this damn EOBS and crap. And, you know, I'll get in trouble if I look at a woman the wrong way, which I wouldn't do, but I would. But there's a gay girl that sits a couple of cubes over from me that makes me very uncomfortable. And he's on my team, and where we work, we all have everybody's phone numbers. in case there's something comes up and you got to get a hold of somebody on the team to get a word to the boss or whatever. And, you know, this guy doesn't understand that the rules apply to him as well. And he makes me very uncomfortable. And, I mean, my phone, my phone's rang at 2 o'clock in the morning. And my wife's like, who the hell is that? I'm like, oh, it's so-and-so from work. I don't know, you know, I don't know what's going on here. I mean, and I don't know what to say to this guy. And I'm not the kind of person that wants to create problems. I guess my point is, you know, being a veteran, you know, people want to say, well, what's your problem with having gays in the military? Well, let me tell you what, as someone that served on the front lines, that humped a 100-pound rucksack, jumped from airplanes with that 100-pound rucksack and had a prick 77 on his back with two or three lithium batteries, each weighing a couple of pounds, plus all his C rations, which weren't MREs at the time. They were actually canned C rations. You know, I don't want to have to think that I have to be on the front line and deal with that kind of crap. And obviously it happens. Obviously you're going to get unwarranted advances on you by people that should know better than to do that crap. And as far as the Boy Scouts, Tom, I know not all homosexuals are pedophiles, but most all pedophiles are homosexual. And, you know, I've been a Boy Scout. I've been a Cub Scout leader. My boys have been in it. And I tell you where, depending on how this goes, they may not ever get another nickel of my money.
Can I bring this around full circle to where we started about the Republican Party?
Oh, absolutely.
Please do, yeah. I'll find a tangent at that.
No, I mean, if you think about the progression of the homosexual agenda over the last decade, it started, the worst part started in Massachusetts. And there was a state court, their high court there, who had a ruling, a Goodrich ruling, where they didn't order anybody to do anything, okay? They even recognized in the decision that they couldn't institute gay marriage. They basically told the legislature, you know, in 180 days, pass a law legalizing gay marriage, okay? The legislative branch ignored them, okay? They just ignored them. Even as liberal as that legislature was, they just ignored them. They didn't do anything. And here comes Mitt Romney on his own authority, on his own dime. He violated the state's constitution, and he implemented gay marriage in Massachusetts. So I'm laying a premise here. They use the courts, like here in my state and other places, to open the door to this. Then, in the last couple of years, they've managed to get a couple state legislatures to go along. Now, in this last election, you know, previously, 30-some states rejected gay marriage before this election. I think it was 32 states rejected it entirely. In this last election, with Mitt Romney as the Republican nominee, the Democrats in four states, they piled on every resource to push through gay marriage in four states. They pulled out every campaign stop. They knocked on every door. The unions got behind them. The whole Democrat machine got behind this effort. The Republicans did absolutely nothing to stop them. And now we've crossed that threshold to where we have the people approving of this by their votes. So we crossed the threshold in this last election. The primary reason why we crossed it, because the Republican Party provided absolutely no opposition. The party that is supposed to represent conservatives did not.
Absolutely. Well, hey, guys.
They're more worried about getting back in the office, Tom, you know.
Hey, Bing, real quick, we just need to make a dollar. Let me take 1 minute here. We're going to do a short soft break, and then we'll be right back.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No.
Not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All right, and this is Soldiers of Patriotism. The phone number is 718-305-7176. This is the last 15 minutes of the show. We've got the president of America's Party on. We're having a really good conversation today, and that's with Tom Hoefling. Tom, thank you so much for joining Uncle Bing and I today. Let's finish up what we were talking about and bring on a few callers to ask some questions if we can, sir.
Yeah, we got some people waiting on for a long time here.
So you were bringing everything back home to the Republican Party, and I want to throw this in here. Answer it when you can, because I really have the feeling that the Republican Party is dying a slow death.
Yeah, it's worse than useless at this point. Now, don't get me wrong. There are certain things. It's like an old jalopy that's broke down. There are certain things that are worth parting out. The base of the Republican Party is still primarily holds these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. They still have the ballot line most places. They've made it very difficult for anyone else to have them. We have a rigged game that has to be unrigged. We can easily do that with a large enough mass of people. But we just have to be smart about it. We have to work hard. People need to shut off their televisions and get back on principle, quit compromising them, find candidates who will do that, and get them elected.
Yeah, and a clock, strikes true twice a day.
Yep, it does. Hey, Tom, real quick, I'm going to bring in my program
director here.
He's gonna bump his show, but I'm sure this is the host of one of our shows, Radio Free America, and he counts among other things anti-communism as one of his hobbies. So he may have a question for you as well, Tom. But I just need to bring him in here real quick and let him promote his show for tomorrow night, and then we'll finish up. So if you'll just stand by 1 second, Brother Duke, are you there?
Brother Michael, how are you, my friend?
Well, Bing and I are doing good. Thank you for calling in this afternoon.
I heard you play Ghost Riders in the Sky as bumper music a short while ago. And, I got to be honest with you, I love that song. I can't hear it without being reminded of the early part of 1981 when I was in helicopter flight school in Gainesville, Florida. That song was on the radio all the time back then. But, I often use talk radio as a cry for help, as it were, okay? And I often ask people for help. And I've got a computer question and one or two questions that I wanted to put out to people. One of them is actually about model railroads, and I hope that there are some hobbyists that are going to be listening. But, of course, we're also going to be talking about the normal things, the incredible left-wing bias in the academy and in the media in this country and what it's doing to our country. We're going to be hearing from Greg Penglis from Frisco, who is going to be discussing the concept of the graduated or, quote, progressive, unquote, income tax, and whether that flies in the face of the 14th Amendment, the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. So it's going to be very interesting. We'll also have Kevin Wade and this week during the Civil War and the Religion of Peace update and all the equal nonsense when the inmates are allowed to run the asylum. So that's tomorrow night at 7, 6 p.m. Central.
Thanks a lot, Brother Duke. We do appreciate
it.
We appreciate everything you do for Conservative Nation Radio.
Have a great evening.
Thank you, sir.
You too.
Well, Tom, we're winding down here, and we've got stacked lines. We've got the lines opened up. Well, let's just start bringing them in here little by little and see what they've got for you, okay?
Sure.
Yeah, Richard's been holding on for quite a long time.
Go ahead, Bing. You bring him on how you want him, brother. I got to step away for just a second.
Hey, Richard, come on in. Whatever you want to say, go ahead and say it.
I have a proposal. I think we needed a new constitutional amendment.
To where? Or to what?
Any elected official found guilty of violations of his oath of office may and should be removed from office by a
you
vote
know,
of the people that elected him.
We already have one. Go read the 14th Amendment. Read the third section. It says exactly that.
But it's not enforced.
Well, that's the problem.
Who's enforcing these? It seems like the EPA can sit there and enforce anything that they want to come down the pike with, but who enforces?
Well, there's only one answer to that. You know, we set up a system in this country that is supposed to have three co-equal branches, but the founders never really intended it to be completely co-equal. Actually, the supreme branch is the legislative branch. They have the impeachment power, and as long as they refuse to exercise it, we will continue to have a rogue, out-of-control judiciary that is just, you know, it's turned into a judicial oligarchy. We don't have a Republican form of government. We have, you know, a few men in black robes basically dictating to us.
Well, exactly. The judiciary was supposed to be the weakest branch of the government.
So we need, look, I'll tell you a quick little anecdote. Here in my state, I already mentioned we had these state Supreme Court judges who imposed gay marriage on us. We, the people of our state, threw three of them out in a retention election. A good friend of ours, who's an America's Party affiliate, he also is a Republican elected official, introduced impeachment articles against the remaining four. And the Republican leadership buried those impeachment resolutions in a committee never to be seen again. So we have to get some legislators who will impeach these people when they step outside their appropriate bounds.
Is this Tom Hoeflin?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. We're neighbors.
Oh, good. Are you in Iowa?
Absolutely. I'm here in Keokuk.
Oh, okay. You're on the other side of the state. I'm way up in the northwest, but that's definitely neighbors.
Well, one of y'all bring back the chainsaw you borrowed last year, all right? Hey, I want to get my buddy Kurt Blackwood in here. Kurt, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Bing. Michael, everybody on the show, thank you guys. Hey, listen, regarding something that's been being discussed here by Tom a lot, there's a post, and I think you posted this link in the BTR chat, Bing, I'm not sure, but that on that article titled Women in Foxholes, that headline is somewhat misleading. That link that I posted over in Trad M chat a while ago, this contains an article written by retired Army General Pat Brady, and it deals with women in combat, but it also, he addresses the issue of homosexuals in the military and especially in combat. That he pointed out some things that I had never even thought of, frankly. So if you haven't got that link up, Bing, I'd appreciate it greatly if you post that. And so the people can get it. It's on TradAm. Anybody on TradAm can see it anyway. And real quickly, I want to give a hat tip to a great American patriot out on the shaky side, Garlic Dude out in California, who posted this today in the chat. He says it's one of his new favorite quotes, and it's this: participating in a government gun buyback because you believe that the criminals have too many guns is like having yourself castrated because you believe that your neighbors have too many kids. So there you go. There's a fun nugget for this afternoon. Back to you guys, okay? Thanks, Bing.
Take care, Kurt.
I like that.
Kurt is one out on the on the fringe. He's on the fringe.
He imparts a lot of good information on us. We look to Kurt for a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, and well, like I said, Kurt knows everybody that God don't know.
Pretty much.
Well, Tom, we want to thank you. We're winding down here to the end of the show. We want to, first of all, Bing and I would like to thank you for joining us this afternoon. And we just want to extend to you, sir, and to America's Party, our services whenever you need them. Conservative Nation Radio, Soldiers of Patriotism. We've got six really great shows. We're all hardworking conservatives doing what we can, not only in our local and state levels, but for what we believe in, which I can guarantee you we all, just reading over the platform, what y'all are about, it's everything that we're about. I mean, that's what Conservative Nation Radio stands for. It's identical. And we're at your service anytime.
Well, you know, if you got some other folks, let them know. Have them send me an email. I'll be happy to do their shows as time allows. I'm pretty flexible. And if your listeners want to talk to me more, if they'd like to talk to many of our leaders across the country, we have three national conference calls per week on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday nights. If they go to our main citizen media site, which is americaspartynews.com, top right-hand corner, you'll see America's Summit Restore the Republic with the times and the call-in numbers. Every Tuesday and Thursday night, and then on Saturday night, we have our leadership roundtable meeting, which is more organizational in nature. But we'd love to have people join us and talk to us, ask questions, share their thoughts, whatever's on their heart, whatever's on their mind. We've been doing those calls for 5 years, and we always appreciate new folks coming and talking to us.
Well, I think you can look for me to be on one of those calls before too long. I'll look that information up and join you guys. And you can look for my continued support and posts on the America's Party Facebook page as well, which is, I find, a very interesting page. There's some great people. One of them, I can't think of her name. It's Yarsborough or something. I can't really pronounce it, but that individual is really a great leader that you have with you that reposts just about anything, because I don't post much, but what I post she apparently thinks is worthy of reposting, and so I really do appreciate it.
She's got it's probably Katrinka Yabitz.
Yes, that's it. That's
she. She has a Twitter list a mile long, and she's one of our state chairmen, actually. And you know, we just have the cream of the crop. We have the salt of the earth in America's Party. We have the best people in America, and they're out working hard. And it's citizen led. It's not professional. Nobody gets paid. We all do it because we love our country and we care about our children and our grandchildren and whether or not they're going to have a free country to live in.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, we don't get paid either, man, but we do this for the same reason. So, yeah, we're in the same boat, man.
Great to be with you today, gentlemen. Thank you.
Same here, Tom.
Much,
thank
Tom.
You so much.
Well, Bing, we're just about out of time, and I just got a message from the boss to remind everybody that we're going to have our post-show chat at traditionalamericanmovement.com. And
that's
if
right.
You're not a member over there, you need to get signed up. I have noticed that Teresa, our boss, our general manager, has been speaking to an individual that's apparently in the radio business, New Wise Conservatism. I'd like to especially throw a shout-out to him and invite him to join us in post-show chat. Or her, if that might be the case. And Bing, I guess let's just thank everybody, and we'll call it a day, and I'll see you over at Tradam, my brother.
Thank you all, man. Appreciate the show. God bless America again.
God bless America. We'll see y'all at Tradam Chat. Until next Sunday, we're going to let a little bit of Marshall Tucker take us out.
Yeah, come on.
long lost on a discovered trail. They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell. And there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there. We were digging and sifting from 5 to 5. Killing everything we found just to stay alive. Gold flowed free like the whiskey in the bar. Sin was the big thing, Lord, and sin was the star. And there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me.
Rolling them hills.